This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition, and I'm Kelvin Yee. Now, if you're anything like me, the vision you have in your head when someone mentions North Korea isn't exactly a flattering one, or even a relatable one. Nuclear weapons, dictatorship, extreme military exercises, and all the crazy, crazy stories. Like the one where they claim to have discovered a unicorn lair in Pyongyang. Or even the one about Kim Jong-un's haircut and how it's supposedly compulsory for all university students. And while reports like these paint the country and its leaders in an odd fashion, there's always a question mark. Beyond all this crazy-sounding talk, propagandist views, and the veil of secrecy that North Korea is so well known for, how much of it is actually legitimate? What can we believe? What should we believe? Who should we listen to? On today's show, we're going to be offering up one perspective, from the point of view of a North Korean who defected to China when she was just 17.
My name is Han Sa-li, and I am North Korean defector, and I was born in North Korea, and I lived there for 18 years, and I escaped my country after I found out that my country isn't the best in the world.
Hyun Seo is the author of an international best-selling memoir called The Girl with Seven Names. The book tells the story of her escape from North Korea, detailing exactly what it means to be a defector in China and South Korea. As you just heard, she left after finding out that her country wasn't the best country in the world. Because prior to that, she was convinced that it was.
So living in North Korea was a paradise. It was a utopia. We were seriously brainwashed from the regime for more than 70 years. You know, the moment I was born, we were fed propaganda, and then I believed that all their leaders, they're the best human being in this whole planet, and every human being in this world are respecting them. That's what I learned. And then that's why I was so proud of being born in North Korea. Even though I saw people starving, we saw public execution very frequently because it's happening even until today. A political prison camp where more than 100,000 people are suffering there and dying in the prison camp. We grew up with that kind of environment, but I thought there was normal life as a human being because there's no comparison. I have no chance to see the outside world. The regime told us that life in North Korea is a utopia, but besides North Korea, like America, like South Korea or Japan, other countries are disasters. They told us that people in those countries are scum. We were told so many bad things. That's why even though we were watching public execution and people dying in front of us, it's so scary. But I thought that was normal life. But I still feel I was lucky being born in that country. That's the brainwash that I did. In my country.
According to Hyun Seo, that's how your everyday North Korean views the world, through blinkers that tightly control the flow of information from the outside world. But even as a child, she sensed that there was something wrong, that there was more beyond the bubble she was brought up in. Hyun Seo believes that her father actually knew that there was something wrong with the regime, but that he kept the information from her and her family to keep them all safe.
That's the most dangerous way to share the idea, that means it will kill your family members. For example, if my father told me the truth as a kid, if I said the truth to the outside or the people, then we will be totally removed to the political prison camp during at night when everybody's sleeping. That's what's happening almost every time in North Korea. People who know about the facts, they are really scared. I mean, they can't share that.
When the famine hit North Korea between 94 and 98, Hyun Seo says that it was at that point that she felt most uneasy, that something wasn't quite right. It's hard to put a number on how many people perished during the famine. Reports vary with numbers ranging from 240,000 to 3.5 million people. Living close to the Chinese border, the juxtaposition was stark for Hyun Seo. She couldn't understand why the Chinese, in a country that was supposed to be less fortunate than North Korea, weren't suffering the same fate.
We were suffering at the time for starvation, and then so many people died during that time. So seeing that at the time, finally, I realized something's going wrong. And then because I was living exactly between China, I don't see the people in China dying while my people dying in my country. While in North Korea, we only have one TV channel. Isn't surprising, we only have one TV channel until today. And after I escaped to China, when I see so many different channels on TV, I was so shocked how that is even possible, can have like a tons of different TV channels. So hiding in North Korea, I saw Chinese TV secretly at night, which is illegal until today. If you saw the foreign media, you could send to political prison camp. But I saw that secretly, and then I realized that maybe China is the best in the world, maybe not my country. I was starting to have thoughts whether my country is the real or China was the real. That's why I wanted to find out the answer. That's how I made break escape from my country.
In 1997, Hyun-seo decided to make her move. She crossed the border and went to China. Remember, she was just 17 at the time.
First of all, I didn't mean to escape my country at the time completely because I couldn't imagine separating from my family forever. So I just wanted to find out the answer by crossing the border, and I thought I would come back to North Korea. The moment I crossing the border, I couldn't imagine that it would be my last minute with North Korea, and I would have to be separated from my family so long. Absolutely, I had no idea. And then it was the winter. There's a Yalu River. That was the border. And then during winter, it was frozen ice. So literally, I walked across the frozen river. But the difficulty is that the military border guards are patrolling the border every 100 meters. Two border guards patrolling with arms. That was the condition in North Korea, even in the past and even today. So many defectors in this situation, they are risking their lives. Many people were captured, or some people even were shot by the border guards. So there's many cases happening, and some people even during the summertime or rainy season, they're thrown into water, whatever happening every day. But because I was living near the border and my family had a really good relationship with the border guards, they're my friends, my family's friends. So they couldn't really believe that I was escaping my country at the time. So they thought I could come back after visiting China. I told them I have relatives there and I wanted to see them and I would come back. So that's how they believed me. That's how they even helped me. The border guards helped me how to cross the border. Under their protection, I crossed very safely, literally. But I also know that I'm not crossing one normal river. It was a border. So I know it was very scary. But on the same time, I knew that's a very lucky thing that happened to me. But many people are confused in the international community. They thought crossing the border from North Korea into China is the most difficult part. They thought that's the last journey. But people, after reading my book, they realized that crossing border is only the beginning of the hard life as a defector, as a refugee hiding in China. That was the literal beginning.
At first, Hyun-seo soon naively believed that she'd be able to return to North Korea after her visit to China. As it turns out, that was the last time she would see her family. At 17, Hyun-seo Lee was a refugee in China. Her story continues in a bit. Stay with us. BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. We're speaking to Hyun-seo Lee, a North Korean defector and the author of The Girl with Seven Names. She's here today to share the story of her escape. In 1997, she crossed the border between North Korea and China for a quick visit. Her hope was that she would be able to eventually return to her family. This wasn't to be. Hyun-seo became a refugee in China at 17. She couldn't speak Chinese and had no working experience.
After I arrived in China, I had no idea what to do at the time, and then I didn't know how to speak Chinese literally from the beginning. But later, I needed money, so I found a job for the first time in my life after I learned Chinese to 2 years after. But as I described in my book, the very first job I found in my life was prostitution, because I didn't know there was a prostitute place. I thought there was an ordinary, normal hair salon, because I had no idea, because I escaped from North Korea. In North Korea, capitalism is illegal until today, so there's no such a job existed in North. It's impossible to even imagine as a North Korean. That's why when I was facing that problem in China, I just literally so shocked. This world can have even that kind of job. And literally, I escaped from that place, and I also escaped an arranged marriage when I was 19.
Hyun-seo also lived in constant fear that she might be repatriated back to North Korea. Being sent back would mean that she would be punished. The punishment for defecting was torture, imprisonment, and eventual execution. She tried her best to hide her identity, but after 3 years, she was nearly exposed.
3 years after arriving in China, I was caught by the Chinese police, because I think one of my Chinese friends in China reported me to the police. At that time, if Chinese people were reporting North Korean defectors, they were getting rewarding from the Chinese officials. That's how I was caught, and I was under interrogation for a while, and almost 30 Chinese police officers. And it was a really terrific memory to me. And I was narrowly avoided being repatriated to North Korea by convincing them that I was actually a Chinese citizen, because at the time, my Chinese language abilities were good enough to answer those difficult questions and reading Chinese newspapers. That's how it saved my life. But because of the horrible experience that I changed my name so many times, like whenever I changed the cities or the workplace, I had to change my name to not being caught by the Chinese police. That's how I became the girl with the seven names.
As bad as things sometimes were in China, Hyun-seo also experienced many new things for the first time in her life. The first thing she noticed was how rich China was compared to North Korea.
Because I have my own eyes. I could compare the old skyscraper buildings, you know, on the street. It's like amazing. Go everywhere, like McDonald's or KFC, and so many restaurants, so many shops everywhere on the street. It's like I never see this kind of life can be even possible as a human being. So even though I was brainwashed for 18 years by the regime, slowly I realized that I was deceived by my dictator for many years. And I was at least lucky that I found the truth when I was 18.
Another thing that surprised Hyun-seo while she was in China was the freedom. It wasn't the big moments that made her realize this, but rather the small ones. She could watch TV and listen to music with the volume all the way up. She didn't have to cover her windows with blankets in fear that her neighbors would report her for watching foreign channels.
In China, I did everything loudly anytime I want that I couldn't do in North Korea. At that time, I realized this is a freedom. And the freedom is like whenever I go to the bus station or train station in North Korea, if you want to go other cities or other parts, you have to get the travel certificate. And then many people, they don't get that. That's why they are taking illegal train or illegal bus. It's just so mess. That's why people couldn't really move within the country. But in China, I was so shocked that with one ticket, with just a few seconds, maybe a few minutes buying the ticket, I can go everywhere I want to go. I feel, wow, that's great freedom. I mean, China has many problems compared to other countries, right? But to me, at the time, escaped to China, I thought compared to North Korea and between China, China was paradise. Like, people are calling the president, for example, right now, Xi Jinping. They don't have to put the Xi Jinping's name like Dear Xi Jinping or the most respectable Xi Jinping leader or something. They don't have to put this kind of all respectable words before or after their name. They just call him Xi Jinping. But in North Korea, I couldn't even imagine that I could call my dear leader's name without putting any specific title. Just a suicide. Or I could be sent to political prison camp. that thing, I realized that in China, wow, this is a, that was a freedom to me. That meant everything.
Hyun Seo stayed in China for 10 years. And all those years, she thought of her mother and her brother and dreamed of reuniting with them one day. She considered bringing her family to China, but knew it was way too dangerous. It was already difficult for her to remain hidden. What more her two family members, who would be very new to China? She was worried that bringing them to China would end up killing them. In 2008, she successfully moved to South Korea and got a fresh start in life. There, she didn't have to hide the fact that she was from North Korea. The South has resettlement programs for North Korean refugees. Having more stability and more freedom, she dared to dream bigger.
I realized that I need to see my family. I had to do my best to reunite again. Without taking any risk, I can't see any results that I wanted. So either we all die together when I bring my family out of the country, or we live all happily together. That was the only two things. And then the success rate is really low, as I said previously. But I did my best at the time because I believed my luck and I believed that my ability that I could bring my family out. But I was, again, I was really naive and at the time and brave. So I went all the way to China, near the border where I escaped my country 14 years before. So from the same place, same spot, I helped my family escape in the country. I couldn't even imagine the journey would be that difficult. I couldn't even imagine, even in my dream, the journey was 10 times more difficult than I expected.
From the border, they had to traverse through China and Laos. Hyun Seo had to get her mother and her brother to the South Korean embassy in Vientiane. The journey was a dangerous one. They were almost caught many times.
So many times my family, we were in a dangerous situation. My heart was sinking so many times. And then that's the journey I was with my family, not myself. Even myself, if during the journey had so many problems, if maybe if I was killed, it's okay, I can accept that. But I couldn't see my family suffering in front of me altogether. That's why it was a very painful journey for 1 year for us.
In Laos, Hyun Seo's family was arrested and jailed twice. The first time, they were let go after she paid the bribe. But the second time it happened, she didn't have the money to pay the bribes. They were arrested just a few steps away from the South Korean embassy. She almost lost all hope, until she met her hero.
As I described in my book, I was in a difficult situation in Laos. They were captured in Laos prison at the time, and then I needed money to rescue their lives from prison. And then I didn't have money at the time at all, and then I had nowhere to borrow the money because there's no people around me. That's why I thought my family maybe could rot in prison because I couldn't prepare the money that Laos government asked me at the time to pay for. At the time, I met my angel, my hero. His name is Dick Dolph. He was an Australian who was traveling in Southeast Asia. After he heard my story, he helped my family. Not only helped my family out of prison, but also three other North Korean defectors to be freed from the same prison. He went to ATM, and then he withdrew the US dollar cash with his credit card. That's how he rescued my family. So because of his behavior, that changed a lot in my life. The moment that I realized that we, as a North Korean defector, we need international community, and I had to tell the world about our just difficult times, hiding in China, and then the life in North Korea, everything. That's how they gave me big motivation that I had to start learning English to tell the world about the truth. That's the beginning of my life to have today.
After a year of agony, Hyun Seo reunited with the family. They were finally together again after being separated for 14 years. Hyun Seo's story isn't quite done. After this, we hear about how she and her family have adjusted to life in South Korea. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Embalming Frustrated Minds. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. Today, we're getting an insight into the life of a North Korean defector. Hyun-Seo Lee is sharing her story with us. She wrote about her life in North Korea and her escape in a memoir titled The Girl with Seven Names. She defected to China when she was 17. After 10 years of living in fear, she managed to resettle in South Korea. Soon after, she helped her family escape from North Korea and resettle in the South. They were reunited after 14 years. But the story doesn't quite end there. Resettlement isn't easy or straightforward. They had to readjust to a new society, to a completely new world.
We just literally escaped from communist country. We didn't know what democracy or capitalism. We never learned about the system in the past. So we only knew what the communists or communists. And then economic gap compared to South Korea is, I think, literally 100 times lower than South Korea. So when North Korean people suddenly arrived in South Korea, because of the different system and then the economic gap, that makes people really difficult to adjust to new life.
As for how her family is doing, it's a mixed bag. Living in South Korea is still difficult for her mother.
Of course, we are so happy that escaped the dictator. I knew that I did the right things to my family. I helped them to get the freedom in their life that they deserved, finally. But the generation differences, for example, my mom's generation, who lived in North Korea more than 50 years. For her, the freedom she found in her late life is important. But what's more important is her memory, that her siblings that she left behind in North Korea. She has seven close brothers and sisters in North Korea. And then my mom clearly knows that she will never have a chance to see them again in this lifetime. That's why she lives in pain, crying almost every day. Because I know I want to do anything for my mom, but one thing I know, these things, I can't help my mom to make her dream become true. Because the answer is only unification between South Korea and North Korea can make it happen. That's why just seeing my mom is crying, so painful to see that, than hurting myself.
Resettlement wasn't easy for Hyun-Seo's brother either. At least in the beginning. But he was tenacious, smart, and hardworking. And eventually, it paid off.
I think I'm very thankful to my brother because he's really smart, and he knew that even though life in South Korea is not easy, but he knew that he had to do his best to survive and had to study everything. So after he came here, 3 years after, he studied really hard. He just slept 3 hours in a day. And then besides that, he studied every day to get to the university. So after that, he got into the Columbia University in New York right now. He's studying there as a North Korean defector. That's why I'm very proud of my own brother that he never go back to the previous life, but he's only going forward for his life. And he will be one of the future leaders of North Korean defector community in the future.
For Hyun-Seo, who's been living outside of North Korea for more than 20 years now, she still has inner demons she contends with.
I'm so happy right now that I found my freedom in my life. But one thing I knew that there's a quotation in America, freedom isn't free, right? I really, truly agree with this expression. And I use this expression so many times myself because exactly freedom isn't free. To have this freedom today, I paid enormous price. And I'm suffering with the pain every day right now. Because I left behind all my relatives and all my friends. And I had to be separated from my family for 14 years. And I left behind my 17 years of memories. So the pain stays with me wherever I go. So this pain, I will never forget and it will never remove from my mind. Until I see the unification in my life and until I see all my relatives inside North Korea. But I am happy that while 25 million North Korean people are suffering inside North Korea even today, but I was one of the few lucky North Korean defectors that I found my freedom after many, many difficulties. So for me, I look really normal on the outside even today, but on the inside, I'm very different because even today, I'm not celebrating my birthday at all because I feel guilty that I feel I'm not really qualified to celebrate my birthday because I feel so guilty to everyone I left behind. That's how I really hate any holidays. Like a New Year's Day or big holidays, the National Days. I really hate that because that's what most people happy about there, right? Taking like a vacation or family gathering, which I couldn't do that, even the simple things, while almost everybody could enjoy, but not me because that holidays, that makes me more lonely, that makes me more thinking about them, my family members in North Korea that I couldn't have. So what I want to say to people, enjoy your freedom. And then being thankful that having family members together whenever you want to see or celebrating with them together, everything.
Hyun Si Yeosu hopes that one day she'll be able to see the friends and other family members that remain in North Korea. The ones that she feels she left behind. That would only be possible through a reunification of the two Koreas. Though still a long ways ahead, she believes it's possible.
That's my dream and dream of my mom. Dream of, you know, 30,000 North Korean defectors living in North Korea today. And I certainly believe that it could happen in my lifetime, but not my mom's lifetime, but I believe it will happen in my lifetime. But I also know it's not really easy because we were divided so long, more than 70 years right now. It makes me think about that. The unification seems so far to me, which is really painful. But on the same time, I know that like a East-West German unification, people could have never guessed that they could have unification, but it did happen, right? So I also believe that all unification maybe could come one day. That's what I'm hoping to have. So the work I'm doing right now and every study I'm doing right now is for preparing for the unification, to tell the world the truth, to let the world just put pressure on our dictator and then stop having negotiating with my home country because I not hate North Korea, that's my country, but I hate the North Korean dictators. They are bad, not the other people. The study I do is I believe after unification or after the country, at least after the country open, then right now with the international community, there's many work, many help need inside North Korea. That's why I'm preparing for the day to be a useful person to North Korean people because I'm at the pre-unification. That's why I have a duty, strong duty to tell the world the truth and then just to help sisters and brothers living in North Korea.
That was Hyun Seo Lee, a North Korean defector. She's also the author of The Girl with Seven Names. Till today, she continues to be a voice for those still living in North Korea. You can also watch her talk about her journey on the TED Global stage. It's been watched over 6 million times on YouTube. If you've missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast on our BFM app. And if you found this story interesting, please share it with someone. The BFM app is available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.